Not sure.
Two. Good day to be at C3 Stand. We have some special guests this morning. Oh, you're coming on this side.
How are you, church? You feeling good? I'm excited for this morning. We've got some special guests in the building. They're going to be amazing. I'm actually really... Sorry, I didn't mean to jump
No, you just go.
I'm actually really looking forward to this morning. We spent some time with them last night with the leaders. And I must say, you guys are... amazing.
Is your mic on?
Am I on? Oh, is it? Two. Awesome. All right. I'm back. Do you want me to start again? No. Anyway, you guys are so amazing. This is only the second time we've met them in person. We met them for the first time last year at a conference in Singapore. And great to meet you guys again. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to your word, Pastor Mel. I'm sure the church is going to be touched, but it's going to be awesome. Back to you.
Can you hear me? That's what my song. All right. We just want to invite you both up because we want to officially welcome you at C3 Stand. This is, for all of you who do not know, as much as we've been saying it, this is officially C3 Stand's overseers. Pastor Mel and Pastor Paul Marshall from C3 Watson. So we could tell you a couple of things about them. They've been married for 39 years. They have 3 kids, 2 grandkids. And I'm about to hand over the microphone so they can just say a couple of things about themselves. But we would just like to say welcome. We've spent a little bit of time with them, like Elton said. They are great people, great question askers. If you're around them, they know how to find out about you. They know how to ask questions, but they know how to remember. Like Elton said, we spoke to them in May, and there's a couple of things, as I say, in Singapore you said, and we're like, how do you remember stuff like that? But anyway, so they obviously know how to do that. I think they oversee quite a few people, as well as a church of over 600 people. So just amazing people. So just want to hand the microphone over to them so you just get to know them and just, you know, just a minute or so just about who each one is before we hear Pastor Mel speak.
Hello. Thank you. Gosh, it's such a thrill to be here. Can we take your church home with us? You guys are a breath of fresh air. That's what I would like to say. You really are. And we live in Canberra. Yeah, and everyone in Canberra is very serious. So, so it is really is a breath of fresh air to be here. I'm going to let you speak because I'm preaching. So you go.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Yes, these guys need overseeing because, you know, they're cheeky people. And so we need to know, what are they doing in Perth? No, that's a real privilege for us to be here. And as Melanie said, there's so much life and heart in this church. It's inspiring. It's touched us this morning. It touched us last night. And what a blessing, what the Spirit of God can do. And all the food that you guys eat, the times you get together around the table, that's an inspiration for us as well. I was in the education industry until 10 years ago. I'd been a school principal in a Christian school for 18 years, and the Lord said, it's time to leave that and go and help Melanie with the church. And so that's my backstory. And looking forward to getting to know all of you better over the years ahead. And thank you for being such a wonderful church.
Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. Are you? Yes, yes. Let's just move this up a little bit because I will need it. Because I'm getting old. I think it's amazing that you said we remember things. I feel like I forget a lot. So, how great are your pastors? Give them a hand. They are absolutely amazing people. And where's the worship team? There's everywhere. Thank you. Thank you for leading us in refreshing, beautiful, Holy Spirit-filled worship. It was just stunning. So, I am a worshipper. That's, if you want to know who I am, I'm a worshipper. So that was just beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. So thank you very much. I believe there's a new sound coming in this church. You know, when the Holy Spirit fell, everyone came. to that sound. And I believe that you have a sound that your community is going to run to. It's a new sound that is coming, that is here. It's actually here, but it's just going to get louder and louder and louder, and people will hear it and they will come. They will run to what you guys are doing, because what you're doing is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Lisa, I saw you walking into, it was like you've been walking into a headwind. You know, it's been really, but I saw the wind shifting. So in front of it, instead of it being in front of you, it's behind you. And so you're rising with that wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit that's lifting you up. I feel like there's God is asking you as a church to start to declare more what you want to see in this community. As it comes out of your mouth, God gave me a picture years ago of a gold sword coming out of my mouth. And what with the words that we say and that we declare with the Lord create. We know that, don't we? You know, in the beginning, that's what speaking was for. It wasn't just to talk to each other. It was to create. Let there be light. And there was. And so God is asking you, C3 Stand, for more of that, more of the declaration to create what you're going to see in this place. Because we do co-labor with God. It's not just all Him and it's not just all us. We are co-laborers with Him. So there you go. Exciting. Now I'm going to preach. We have been in C3 for 40 years. Can you believe? I joined when I was 2. That is not true. We have been in C3 for 40 years, and we love this movement. And we love Canberra. We're called to Canberra, but it's a privilege to be here. Now, you guys are talking about transformation. And I love that we serve a God who transforms us. I love that we get to change and we get to grow and we get to conquer new things. We don't have to have the same problems this year that we had last year. Anyone? We serve a God who transforms us as we co-labor with Him. I just talked about that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, now, don't you love the now scriptures in the Bible? Now faith is, now the Lord is Spirit. God is a God of the now. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. There are two great thoughts in this passage. The Holy Spirit brings freedom to our lives. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit brings transformation to our lives. I'm the girl who married the man of her dreams at 18. Which was quite young looking back. And Paul and I would go out. I'm talking about transformation here. Paul and I would go and have a meal with people, or we'd just be out together, and I didn't speak. He does love me, really. But no, I didn't. And some people go, no, don't be silly, Mel. No, I didn't. I was so shy. I was so anxious. I was so afraid that I let Paul do all of my talking for me. And now I do this very, 2 out of 4 weeks at church, I do this. Because the Lord transforms us. And the Lord sees us as something that sometimes we don't see ourselves as. And if we are willing to co-labor with him, and it is a process, you know, God begins things in power regularly, but he completes it in process. You know, if we continue to renew our mind, if we continue to take the Bible and do what it says, then he will change us. And we won't recognize ourselves, but we've actually become who he's made us to be. So God is a God of transformation. Today I want to focus on one of the ways that we are transformed. It's not a fun way, but it's a real way. James 1 says this, "Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So I'm guessing this is not one of the scriptures that you've got memorized and stuck on your fridge. No one goes, "Woohoo, I'm going through a hard time. I'm so happy about this. Bring it on." If I was reading this verse, you know, in a book, I would circle the word consider, because it's important that we understand what James is saying here. And I hope we know that our minds are the starting place for much in life. Our minds are the place where victory is won or lost. And our feelings follow our thoughts and our decisions. They follow. So we see this in this passage because consider is referencing how we think, not feel, about a thing. So James is saying, when we're going through a test, when we are being tempted in some way, when things are hard or difficult, it doesn't feel great. True? True. But what we need to do is think on, reflect on, consider the outcome, the fruit that is being produced in us, how we will be transformed and changed because of what we're going through. You will be changed because of what you go through and come out the other side of. When we don't give up during a tough season in our marriage, the outcome is a relationship that is closer and more intimate. When we keep trusting God to do what he's promised and we stay surrendered in that process, even when we can't see how it's going to work out, we get stronger. And next time it's not as hard. It's like that scripture in Hebrews 12, which talks about keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because of the joy. There's that word again. Consider it all joy. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured. And aren't we glad he did? It's this thing called delayed gratification. It's something we may not be as good at in this day and age of microwaves. Fast internet, thank you God for fast internet, and ready-made meals. We want everything to be fast and instant or we're out. What I'm going through now, what I'm doing now, it's hard, but it's going to produce good in the long run. And I can be joyful about that. I am being transformed in this process. That scripture goes on to say, because the testing of your faith, which actually means the proving of your faith, produces something in you. James is saying that when our faith is tested, it proves it exists. In fact, I would suggest that it's not until our faith is tested that we prove it exists. Is it real or not? Christians who are persecuted for their faith. Taylor told a story about that today in worship. That proves that it exists. When we follow God rather than our peers, it proves that our faith exists. When we're obedient in our finances, it proves that our faith exists. And in the testing process, we get something. We come out the other side with something that we couldn't have gotten any other way. What do we get? The Bible says we get endurance. And it's okay if you're sitting there today thinking, well, at this point in my life, I don't care. That seems very overrated because what I'm going through is hard. I just want the pain to stop. You ever felt like that? I just want the relationship restored. I just want the provision to show up. I've been waiting. I just want peace to reign. I get that. Life is not always easy. Paul and I had dinner back in January with some really good friends, and they love to look back and say, okay, so what's your highlight from 2024? And they all had a highlight, and Paul had his highlight, and they asked me, and I said, I got through it. That was my highlight. I'm still standing. C3 stand. I'm still here. I didn't think I would be, but I'm here. Because it was a very difficult year. Some of you may be sitting here today and you've had a very difficult year. Maybe you're right in the middle of something that is incredibly hard. And that situation is not fully resolved, but it will be. I remember one day saying to Paul, some days when I wasn't sure how it would resolve or if it would resolve or ever end, I said to him, honey, one day I'm going to wake up and this nightmare will be over. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. That's how I felt. Because it was very difficult for me to physically function. It was a spiritual, it was spiritual in nature, but it was physical in its outworking. And one of the things I did was I took communion every day for a whole month because there's power in what Jesus did. Just as Guy said this morning. On New Year's Eve, I was cutting up, I don't know, I was cooking for the night for the people that were having coming over. And I had worship music on because I find that when I'm in some sort of spiritual attack, that worship is my weapon. I mean, worship is a weapon all the time. And this Jen Johnson song was on. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I'm bigger than you think I am. It's clear as a bell. I am bigger than you think I am. And I don't know if you're here today and you need to hear that. If you're facing something and you need to hear, God is bigger than you think He is. He is all powerful. His name is the highest, the greatest, all thrones, all dominions, all powers and all positions. None of them are higher than the name of Jesus. And He's already won the victory. And so as we continued, I got to the point where I said, okay, what do I know? What do I know in this situation, God? I know that You are ordering our steps. I know that this situation that we are facing as a church, because it's not about me, it's about our church and what our church is going to do in the city of Canberra. I know that You have already won the victory. And so we are contending for what we already have. And as Christians, we tend to spend quite a bit of our lives at times contending for what we've already been given. True? Yes. So I want to encourage you today, don't give up because endurance produces a result. It's actually during the hard and difficult times that we tend to just get closer to God. Wouldn't it be nice if it wasn't that way? But it tends, you tend to just be, you get more stuff from God in those times. Endurance produces a result. It does something inside us. And that scripture says that we become perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. We are transformed, and the world needs Christians who value the process enough to get endurance. And I'm not talking about perfection, like we never make a mistake. The thought here isn't talking about being perfect in that way. It's talking about reaching our purpose, growing up, developing, maturing, fulfilling what God put you here to do. God put every single one of you here on this earth for a reason. And that endurance produces the maturity so that you can do what He wants you to do. Every single person on the planet wants to leave a mark, wants to live for something bigger than themselves. And at times it means we persevere through difficulties. So what are you going to do with what you're going through? Will you tap out and say, too hard? Or will you dig in and say, thank you, Lord. Something eternal is being produced here. Something wonderful is being produced here. Strengthen me, God. Help me to stay close to you and to get everything you have for me in this uncomfortable place. I don't like it, but I'm trusting you. What will you do? Because it's a choice. It's our choice. One thing we can do when we're in that uncomfortable place where we know God is transforming us, we can do what the next part of James 1 says. We can ask God for wisdom in how to navigate it. Because sometimes it's not easy to hear or know what's best, especially during a tough time. Has anyone found that? Let's continue to read. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Anyone ever needed to know what to do? Maybe you've walked into church today and gone, God, please speak to me. I don't know what to do. Anyone staring at a situation right now that is not black or white? It's not an easy decision. Do I just keep going? Do I need to change something? Do I confront that situation? Do I wait for that person to come to me? What do I do? Because some decisions are easy to make. E.g., don't steal. Don't sleep with someone you're not married to. Don't lie. Forgive. These are all black and white decisions, but other decisions are not clear cut. We need wisdom. We need guidance. We need help. Do I stay? Do I go? Do I apply for that job? Do I study that or do I study that? Do I marry them? What's the next step, God? And what I found is it can be especially hard, I find this, to know what to do when we're going through what James calls a trial or a testing of our faith. It can be hard in that situation because the battle can be so fierce that it's hard to get a read. What's me? What's God? What do you want, Lord? There are other people involved. I want to have a godly response. What am I not seeing? I need your wisdom. And the thing about wisdom, it can come from all different places once we ask for it. It can come from the Word of God. It can come from other people. It can come from the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I have some beautiful pastor friends who I love. I'm sure you have friends that you love too. But these guys, when they're making a decision, I talk to them. And I say to them, They say, oh, I'm just not sure what to do. And I say, well, have you prayed about it? That sounds terrible, doesn't it? And they'll say this. This is what they say to me. Oh, Mel, it's okay for you. You just go on those walks and pray, and then God tells you what to do and you do it. And I say, yeah. Yes. Isn't that what we all do? Pray, ask God, and then do what He says. There's a fabulous promise we can hold on to if we need wisdom. God says if we ask, He will give it. He will give it without reproach. That means even if you're sitting here today and you think, man, I messed up. This is like, God, why would you give me wisdom? I'm sitting here and I made these huge mistakes. They're of my own making. Even if we've messed up. Even if it's undeserved. Even if it's because of our own mistake. If we ask Him, He will give it to us. If you ask God, He will give it to you. We have friends who just, when they got married, they had credit card after credit card after credit card, and they ended up, you know, in the end they were buying their weekly groceries on their credit card because they had no money, and they got into bundles of debt. But then they turned around and asked God, and you know what, He got there, like they got totally out of debt because they were humble enough to go to God and ask Him to help them. Some people don't do that. There is a condition here, though. The condition is not to pray harder, not to read the Bible more, if you want wisdom, not to help that person and I'll give you wisdom, not that you have it all together and I'll give you wisdom. The condition here is if we want wisdom, we must ask in faith. We must ask in faith without any doubting. For that person who doubts ought not to expect that he or she will receive anything from the Lord. That's pretty extreme, right? That escalated quite quickly. Anything from the Lord. Faith is pretty important, I think. So He's saying, if you want wisdom and come and you ask me for it, believe I'm going to give it to you. Believe you're going to get it. We don't ask Him and thank Him for it and then walk away and go, oh, gosh, I don't think God's going to answer that. He is, He isn't. He is, He isn't, which is called wavering and doubting, which is jumping from one side to the other. The Bible calls that unstable. Today I'm doing it this today. No, no. We built a building. Took us 10 years to get the land. And we built this building in Canberra that our church is in. We've been in there for 13 years. And about 9 months into the process of building the building, like, it was just really hard. It's like things were just going so slowly. And one night I was at a Connect group and one of the board members rang me and he said, the project managers have just gone into receivership. What? We just sent them a check for, that day was like $120,000 or something. So I went over and got the check number, canceled the check, you know. It was a process. I tell you, it was horrible. We lost money. I could go into it all, but I'm not going to. So, good story though. God turns all things together for good. We actually ended up better off at the end of that process than we would have if we were with them. We didn't know that at the time though. You don't always know how it's going to end up, you know. So, I was at a board meeting with our board. And they were saying, oh, you know, maybe what are we going to do? Maybe we need to make the building smaller. Maybe we need to change the footprint, all this sort of stuff. And I did what I do. I said, guys, I'm going to go and pray. So I went and prayed. We live at the foot of a mountain. So we went away and prayed. And God said, you go, Mel. You keep going. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. That's what he said to me. And so I went back to the board and I said, we go. We keep going. This is going to happen. It became clear that that's what God was saying. So we discerned what God was in and then we did it. That word, doubt, he who doubts will not receive anything from God. What that actually means is hesitate, which I think is really interesting. Because God spoke to us and said, keep going. And so once we knew that, we moved forward. Maybe you're here today and you've asked God and he said, do it, do this. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Walk into what he's telling you to do. Step out and do what he's telling you to do, because you will see his glory at the end. Amen. I didn't ask you, Lisa, how we finish. Does the band get up? Yes, if the band would like. Maybe I should have had a little conversation about that. James 1:12 finishes by saying, blessed is the man or the woman who perseveres. For once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. There are two things really that I spoke about today. The first one is, will you stay in and receive the receive what God has for you? Do you need wisdom? Is he asking you to do something? And you need to step into that. I really feel like there are some people here today, and that is you. God is asking you to do something. You've asked him for wisdom. You've done a bit of to-ing and fro-ing over the whole thing. But he's spoken. He's spoken clearly. Don't hesitate. Step into it. You're going to see his glory. You're going to see his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. You can all shut your eyes. I'm just going to pray for you if that's all right. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, you see them, you know them. You know everything that they are facing. You know where they've been. You know what they've seen, Lord. Lord, and my sense is that there are some people in this room today and they've been, whether it's fear or for some reason they haven't fully stepped in to what you're asking them to do. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for courage. I pray for courage, Lord. I pray that you would be drawing them into what you have for them. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, even now, God, you are filling them with faith and courage to do what you're asking them to do. Those that are in the heat of the battle, Lord, your name is higher than any battle that is going on in their head or that is going on outside them, that is going on in their family, that is going on at work. Father, your name is higher and greater than any of those things, Lord. And so I pray in the name of Jesus and I command things to shift in their world. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I shut down the lies. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that you open doors that have been shut. Lord, you open them so they can walk through in Jesus' name. The power of God. Power of God. Thank you, Lord. While everyone has their eyes closed, there's one more thing I want to do as I finish, and that is, I don't know all of you today. God does. And you may be here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never given your heart to him, your life to him. Or maybe you've followed him in the past, but you know it's time to come back. So while everyone has their eyes closed, if that's you this morning, I would love you just to let me know that that's a decision you're making. Just by raising your hand. So that's wonderful. Thank you, that's wonderful. Two people, is there anyone else here today that is doing that? Three people, that's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can put your hand down. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer together. We're going to pray a prayer out loud together. We're going to join these three people. So if you could just repeat after me. Let's all pray together. Let's repeat this out loud. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to earth, for dying on the cross, for my sin. Forgive me. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. Help me to follow you for the rest of my days. Amen. Thanks, Sky.
Why don't we just stand to our feet? Let's not let this time pass. We just heard an amazing word about staying in that endurance, staying in that battle to receive that endurance for God. So my prayer and my encouragement this morning is if you are going through something that you're saying, I just need to keep on praying, I just need to keep on fighting and looking towards Jesus, we want to pray for you this morning. So we're going to leave this altar up and we would love for you to step out in that and say, God, I'm not going to turn away. I'm not going to stop fighting for this, but I'm going to keep on looking to God. I'm going to keep on praying for this thing. So as the band just sings this song, let's just step out in that faith and say, God, I'm not going to doubt anymore. I'm not going to worry anymore, but I'm just going to look to you, Jesus. So why don't we just pray right now? God, thank you so much that you are our King of Kings. God, thank you so much that we can come to you with this stuff. And even if we've doubted before, we can come back and you will say, yes, my arms are open for you. I'm here, I'm waiting, I'm ready. And so this morning, if that's you, you just want to step out in that faith and say, God, I trust in you. God, I have faith in what you can do, God. God, I want to pray for that thing. I just encourage you to do that this morning. Just declare that out to God as we sing. So why don't we just sing this song together?
Thank you.
Give them a hand for making the trip here. I know it was such a blessing for this church, and that was an amazing word, so thank you so much. This is officially the end of our service today. Of course, we are here if you would like prayer for anything, but otherwise stick around. We are going to have lunch together. We'd love for you to stay regardless if you brought anything or not. We would just love to have lunch with you. Otherwise, have a blessed week, and we will see you Tuesday for Love Langfords.